Everyone, welcome to IT Live, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm Texas Homer. This is Eric Nalin. Down low, Coach Dub. We had a fun weekend. We had the end of spring ball. We had the NFL draft, and Texas baseball, baby, continues to be number one. Sweeps A&M.
Yeah,
feeling good. This team could. I'm a casual baseball fan, so I'm calling it right now. I know baseball is not a superstitious sport, so I just want to say, look, guys, we're clearly going to win it all. I'm really excited. Roaster, good morning. All the baseball fans cringed to hear that.
Yeah.
But that was fun, man. We're going to talk. We're going to do a little spring ball debrief, the latest news from Saturday, but just kind of looking back. And, of course, the draft, which was this weird emotional mix of excitement, but also, like, still felt like we underperformed a little bit with still breaking our record. Like, it was just – it was a weird draft. Ultimately, 12 players drafted, broke our record, so that's incredible. But we'll get into kind of the ebbs and flows of that strange draft cycle. Just in strange and every, there was a lot of guys on the board that didn't get drafted, not at Texas, that I was surprised about. It was just
weird.
It was a weird one for sure. And I think maybe things are changing draft wise, how they're doing some things. First, let's just talk about the Saturday intel, the scrimmage prior to Fan Day. Did anybody go to Fan Day?
Not I. I was, I got back and I actually got home early Saturday.
Yeah. I didn't go either. I just saw the videos they put out, but I was trying to see what was the vibe. Seemed like there was a lot of children there. So I guess, man,
always.
That's a great memory, right? You know, your dad takes you to get 900 autographs. That's something you'll remember. It's important.
Yeah,
I like spring games. I'm more of a spring game guy, but
definitely.
It looked like they were serving that part of the fan base. Wish I could have made it to the hangout, but we had our own baseball game. It's all good, Roaster. We'll catch you next time. All right. First thing that I thought was interesting in the notes from old Justin Wells. Ryan Wingo was actually back out on the field. That's important, right? So what's going on there?
Yeah, we made sure to triple check on that one because, he'd been going through walkthroughs and that sort of thing. Kind of keep him mentally engaged. Not that you really have to work on Ryan Wingo in that way, but you want him feeling a part of spring. I was surprised that he suited up. I'm going to have to ask around a little bit more and see if everybody else was surprised. But yeah, he balled out, showed himself. He did what he did in the spring game last year. So if you wish you could have seen the spring game, just go roll the tape. Instead of Kobe Black last year, he got Jalen Gilbo this time for 80-yard touchdown or deep ball over the top. And, I think part of why Arch had a quiet spring outside of, we heard a lot about him doing a good job of protecting the ball was, he was missing Ryan Wingo, who's going to be his number one wide receiver this year, and he was missing DeAndre Moore. So you get Wingo back and voila, all of a sudden you're hearing about a deep ball from Arch. And deep ball is going to be a huge part of the offense this season, whereas, last year it's, Sark still wanted to throw it, didn't have much success, so he didn't go to it as much as he would have liked to.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge part of the Arch Manning experience.
Yeah, that's huge, man. And it's good, right, coming off an injury or hamstring, right? You want to see if you can get out there and kind of run and let it loose a little bit without worrying about, am I going to pull it again? And so to hear that 80-yard touchdown from that, that's lovely. It means he's okay mentally as well, too. He's not worried about tweaking it again.
Yeah, he's going to springboard right into the summer off season. That'll give him some confidence, too. He's probably feeling a little down that he missed so much practice time, even though he's definitely confident in his role going forward. The coaches, like I said, we wrote on IT that they're perfectly confident with Ryan Wingo being wide receiver number one. And I'm going to say it forever now. He's going to have a Romo Odunze career outside of, he didn't redshirt like Odunze did.
I love Romo Odunze. So yeah. I'm great with that comp. That's one of my favorite comp receivers. So with not landing whoever the potential other guys were, which – maybe down the line, we'll tell you. But not landing those guys, it kind of mixes up the room, right? So you have likely Wingo, kind of boundary, the single side receiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean Mosley's in the slot and we move more outside?
I'm almost certain they're going to put I haven't really heard this yet. Obviously, we just need to start asking around about it a little bit more. But I think Mosley's going to be in the slot. And then Moore will be outside. We've always talked about Moore's speed. Hell, we've seen him get deep a number of times at Texas from the slot. He could always play inside or outside. Slot was just a way to get him on the field last year. That's where the, you know, they felt best about him with Golden on the outside to one side and Bond and then Wingo on the other side. But now with Mosley, who brings a lot of the DeAndre Moore, Jordan Whittington intangibles, he's a tough guy, he'll block. That makes more sense to have him in the slot. One thing I don't really know for is just exactly how fast Mosley is. Now there's talk of him having a 10.700 in high school. If that's true, then he doesn't lack speed to play outside. And I don't know, you know, there's a lot of different things that Stanford didn't have going for them that Texas will. Yeah. It'd be a lot easier to get open at Texas than it will at Stanford. But I think, you know, if you're just going by what we know about each receiver, it makes sense to have Wingo on the boundary. It's easy to feed him there. It's still easy to go over the top with him. And then DeAndre Moore, you know, he's always been mentioned one of the 3, 4, 5 fastest guys on the team. It kind of depends on who else is around him. You know, it changes year to year. But he's clearly going to be one of the fastest guys on the team. So, yeah, line him up outside, let him have Matthew Golden's role, and just hope that he's got Matthew Golden's – at least he can approximate Golden's hands this year.
Yeah. I was telling Coach earlier that if you leave Mosley at the slot and then injuries at tight end, that's two really reliable chain-moving guys on the inside, which is good for Arch. And so just being able to get it to him quick. And Arch is not scared to throw over the middle. He's not scared to throw small windows, and he has a crazy fast release. So having those handsy guys in the middle would be really good. And then if you can have the guys on the outside, we saw Morris fade, right, that Arch threw. Like, he can do it. We know Wingo can do it too, with a little more polish. So I actually like that concept of safety blankets on the inside, chain movers, outside, speed threat.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, they're going to run 12 personnel a lot too. So, there's going to be times that your top two of Wingo and Moore is perfectly suitable, dangerous, deep threat over the top. And then you still have your tight ends with, you know, we do. Unfortunately, Jordan Washington was shut down for almost all of spring.
Yeah.
As much as we heard about Emory Winston, we would have heard twice that about Jordan Washington, I feel, you know, having a year head start on Winston. So they're going to be dangerous in 12 or 13 personnel.
And so right now, with kind of reporting, it's looking like the fourth wide receiver is Parker Livingstone, who we heard early in the mix and also is able to book in the other side, catching a deep ball.
Well, you know, he's going to make noise in August too. It was nice hearing him. You know, he started off with a bang in camp and then things kind of got quiet. I think that is just kind of, you know, part and parcel with Arch having a more quiet time without his top receivers. But Livingstone caught another one. And you know what? I heard after the fact that was a touchdown that he caught. I think there we said it wasn't a touchdown. I don't know. It was a deep ball regardless. He made a great play on it. And then it made a great play after it. I think Livingstone's going to play a lot this year. So, you know, we don't want to anoint Mosley necessarily as a starter yet, but that's kind of what we would guess just based on his experience and how the staff always views experience. But Livingstone's going to play a ton, and he's going to be dangerous. You know, I think he's going to have a high touchdown-to-catch ratio this season. He had like 22 touchdowns in high school, and he missed almost his entire senior year. The guy puts it in the end zone.
Yeah, definitely. For me, Livingstone's always the guy that had to prove himself, right? He was on a loaded roster at Lovejoy where he wasn't the main guy. He always had to navigate and work his way through it. Like now, you got guys who are in front of him with bigger names, but Livingstone's going to show up and play. I'm telling you. It's not too late. August is what we got, a couple months. You still got a chance to buy stock because that's going to be my guy.
Yeah, I think Livingstone's going to be the clear number four. Now, they really like Daylon McCutcheon, but now he's got another problem in front of him because he already had DeAndre Moore, and now he's got Mosley. So, McCutcheon, I think, is going to be the most productive true freshman, but I think Parker Livingstone's going to be wide receiver number four.
Boy. Cool. And then the best defensive players, no surprise here, Colin Simmons, Anthony Hill, and Michael Taft. But it is good to be reassured that that's still the case.
We didn't really hear a ton about Taft and Hill throughout August. It was just throughout spring. It was just kind of went according to type. It was chalk. With Colin Simmons, we kept hearing, you know, he missed a few practices early. So once he came back, everybody was like, oh, well, there's Colin, same old Colin, or maybe even better Colin. Once they go live and, you know, you see the offense brings back Ryan Wingo, which means Sark is about to go for it, those primetime players are going to step up.
Yeah, they're already doing way too early first-round mock drafts. Yeah. Of course, Colin Simmons is not on that, but I think Anthony Hill, they have it like number 5 in the nation.
Yeah, I mean, if you went by pure football talent, you'd have to have him up there. It's just, you know, there's a bit of a linebacker. The NFL devalues linebacker. How many did a – who was the true off-ball linebacker that went in the first round? I'm having trouble recalling that. So, yeah, it's just he's a first-round talent all day long.
Right.
Yeah. The lines cancel each other out, which is probably a good thing. Yeah, it's so hard to read those tea leaves. Success of plays often depend on who made the play, the receiver or the defensive back. Okay.
Yeah. I started hearing more and more good things about Brevard as camp went on. So I'll take that as a good sign because we know he's going up against experienced players in the interior. We heard him getting the best of DJ Campbell in one recent practice. I can only take that as a positive. There's, you know, sometimes zero sum can muddy the waters and sometimes, you know, good on good can add clarity. And so, you know, hearing good things about Brevard, a lot of good things about January. I feel pretty good about the status of the lines. It's not like it was, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. It's a lot easier to read now. Still a little bit of haze there just because we're working in some newer guys. But, yeah, I feel pretty good about both offensive line and D-line.
Cool.
You should have some back and forth up there, though, man. You got a ton of veteran guys on either side, especially D-line. But you should have some back and forth. It's good to hear that late towards the end of spring, too.
Well, it would only make sense because the DBs and wide receivers have a ton of back and forth as well.
And then we have the depth on defense, especially at linebacker. And I'm assuming this is linebacker, including kind of edge outside linebacker. And then in secondary.
You know, he wasn't really talking about edge in that one just because I think some guys are out, been limited a little bit. You know, Umiazulu's out right now. And Vasek, of course, missed all of spring. So, you know, edge isn't quite – it will be deep this season when it matters. But not quite yet. That linebacker, it's – you know, Spence, we heard about Spence as much as any player all spring. You know, everybody loves Ty Anthony and Leonga. And then, of course, Hill is a known. In the secondary, it's, you know, Kobe Black's playing well. Warren Roberson's playing well. You know, you got a number of safeties there. I think, but you're about to get to the most interesting part about star and safety, unless you passed it already.
No, Jelani McDonald was at both spots.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of foreshadowing for what I've kind of been, you know, telling everybody. Like I just can't see them as good as Wardell Mack and man Grayson Littleton made a lot of noise too. I just can't see them going into Ohio State and playing a guy that's going to get his first start. That just, you know, that's just, that would go against what we know about the staff. So here we see the lights come on. We know Ryan Wingo's back, so they're going for it on offense. Now they got Jelani working star and safety. I think they're going for it on defense. You know, I expect to see a lot of Jelani at start of the season. They don't want to take the guy off the field, but they still have to get Derek Williams on once he comes back in the summer. So, and you know, Taft doesn't come off unless you're just giving him a rest. So, I think Jelani at star makes a lot of sense. But it made sense for them to work Wardell Mack, Grayson Littleton for a time, Ryan Niblett, Jonathan Cunningham at star, because they already know that Jelani knows the position pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, get your best five, man. Get your best five.
All that matters. Yeah, best five. All the way around.
Jalen Gilbo.
Gilbo.
Same thing. We hit this. So we've been kind of trying to track Gilbo's corner production. And it seems like it hasn't been – I don't want to make this sound definitive. How about you just tell me, Eric, what's been going on with Jalen Gilbo at the corner position?
Yeah, I was getting a little worried there. I was like, yeah, don't be definitive because you – know,
yeah.
He's knocking some rust off, and it's not Jade going back to corner where Jade played corner a lot as a true freshman before they moved him. Gilbo kind of had like two practices at corner before they just stuck him over at nickel. So he's going back and learning a lot more. And at the same time, he's got brand new coaches. You know, he's learning from two new DB defensive back coaches. So I've got sources that feel good about him in August. At the same time, I think fans are perfectly justified to wonder, hey, will Gilbo go back to star? And they could play Black and Roberson and Muhammad as your three-man weave over there. But, it's too early to say that based on what's happening behind the scenes. Without a doubt, it's too early to say that. But I think fans are justified in wondering about that as well. That, again, doesn't get Jelani, Derek Williams, and Taft on the field at the same time, which I think
– that's the puzzle, dude. That's the puzzle. It's getting your best five.
So I think that's – you know, there's always going to be trade-offs when you do that. When you're trying to figure out your best five, there's going to be a trade-off.
Yeah. We touched on a little bit, but with Washington going down, Winston has stepped up. And consistently since he's been there, they've talked about that he's had a good spring. So I get a player of the future to watch for sure.
Yeah, yeah, maybe Antonio Gates Jr. right there, I'm telling you.
He's just really savvy about getting open already. And he's got really, really reliable hands. He's become an outstanding favorite.
Cool. And then we have all three quarterbacks played pretty well. Aaron Butler caught a big pass from Trey Owens and KJ Lacy.
Mm-hmm.
Lacy throws a beautiful deep ball.
Yep.
So there's real competition here, huh?
Yeah, there's competition at quarterback, no doubt about it. You know, Trey had a really big spring last year. I think KJ's had maybe the spring that the staff probably felt he was going to have, maybe a little bit better than I was expecting. You know, I love the guy's tape. It's sometimes I let people talk me out of liking a guy because it's just so often. But, you know, the first time you saw him, he committed as a sophomore. You watched the tape, hadn't really paid too close attention to him to that point. And, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is Bryce Young. And that's, you know, it's not just because he's on the smaller side. It's because he's, you know, people never gave Bryce Young the credit he deserved for being a dual threat quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't think just because, you know, he didn't have to run it all that much, but those guys can use their dual threat athleticism behind the line of scrimmage, buy time and make plays. Yeah. Love hearing about the deep ball accuracy, because again, when you combine that with the ability to buy time behind the line of scrimmage, move around and then find somebody deep, keep their eyes downfield, that's when it gets deadly. Texas did not, you know, this is why this we'll probably get into this a little bit, but coaches, play callers need a quarterback that can improv and buy them a little bit of time. Yeah. You know, when the schedule breaks down, can they still make a play? And, you know, we've seen, you know, last year we saw that not enough of that.
Well, and DB, that's a DB's nightmare, right? You got to cover a guy downfield and extra 3 seconds. Like, that's when you get touchdowns that you get to steal from the defense.
Yeah. You can only cover Ryan Wingo so long. Look how Ryan Wingo moves. There's not much sticking with him, especially when he's on the same page with the quarterback.
Yeah. And not surprisingly, Trey Wisner has cream of the crop. He's risen. I think earlier on we were looking at maybe Jared Gibson making a move or something like that. We've heard great things about Christian Clark, but non-shockingly, the dogged, determined player looks like RB1 again. And he's added some size, which is important too. And we want that size on him because, man, we ran him so much last year. The last thing you want, knock on wood, is to wear him or get him hurt, but also for the NFL too, man. Like, you have to be cognizant of putting too many smacks on guys. But it's not surprising to me that Wisner ends up running back one.
No. I mean, yeah, you've got to beat that guy. You got to go the extra mile to beat that guy, you know, even more so than others, to take something from him. He had a good spring, especially as it wore on. You know, I think they really rested him early on, again, because of those carries he logged last year. A little added weight. But he'll also benefit from having guys that can actually share the workload with him. He didn't have anybody that can really share the workload last year. You know, now he's going to have at least two volume type backs behind him that'll keep him fresh. So, you know, Trey Wisner on 15 carries is going to look a lot different than Trey Wisner on 30 carries.
Yeah. Will be interesting to see what the rest of the room looks like and how the rotation works and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. All right, I can't wait for August, though. The way spring is just really setting up an exciting August. There's still plenty of questions. There's still a lot of questions and intrigue. But right now, with the portal that they did, we're going to have new additions to talk about. I'm already ready for August. May is such a bad month of football. Outside of rehashing everything we learned in spring, it's recruiting time. And then at least in June, you know, we'll have 7-on-7 and team workouts and that sort of thing. But, man, I wish we could just transition in August.
Yeah, May is a lot of projection-based analysis. All right, guys, before we keep going, Academy Sports Outdoors is your new home for Jordan. Gear up today and take flight on the court, off the court, and above the court. Unleash your greatness with head-to-toe Jordan gear for the entire family, available in-store and at academy.com. Elevated styles and shoes for everyone. Unstoppable value every single day. Plus, Academy offers easy ways to shop and save time, like free one-hour in-store or curbside pickup on Academy.com orders. Or choose same-day delivery powered by DoorDash. Order by 4 p.m. and get it by 8 p.m. Check out our full Jordan selection today at Academy Sports and Outdoors. Love me some Jordan brand, baby.
Yeah, right.
That's some good stuff. All right. Any bird's eye view, spring ball, anything that was shocking, anything that you didn't see coming, or was it smooth sailing? Anything from spring that kind of stuck out to you?
Well, I mean, there was some definitely, you know, I didn't expect Winston or to have be mentioned after, you know, 75% of the practices. Brad Spence being comfortable in coverage was a bit of a revelation. You know, on the other side, we wanted to hear more about NATO. We wanted to hear more about right tackle, Brandon Baker there. So, I mean, there's still a lot to learn about it. But, you know, overall, I feel good about where they are. You know, Arch protecting the ball to me and still, you know, going deep when he did have the, you know, his primary guys there. That's a good sign. I feel really good about where they are. And if you feel like, oh, man, they're missing some pieces or whatever, just go look at everybody else. You automatically feel a little bit better.
Coach.
I'm happy. So many young guys got so many reps. To me, like, it's going to pay huge dividends come August, right? Like, you need depth. And so there's a lot of the fact that Parker Livingstone was mentioned a ton. Daylon McCutcheon was mentioned a ton. Like, Jamie French was mentioned, you know, throughout. It's like having those young guys get mentioned and get a lot of reps, I think it's going to pay off come August, man. It's going to be huge. But you always want to see how new guys get acclimated to, you know, the culture, the scheme, and everything else, right? Are they going to be a great fit or not? Even the transfers who are older guys, right? So hearing Cobra Barr's name, I think it pays off. I think it's huge. And so you didn't hear too many injuries either. Like, you know, that's the biggest part, right? So we're going into August as a healthy team.
Think about how, you know, this has always been a competitive program. Think about how competitive things are going to be in August with all those new D tackles, a new tight end, a new wide receiver hitting the field. Things are going to be extremely, extremely competitive in August.
And all new defensive tackles also test the offensive line too, which is good.
Yeah. Need it.
So, yeah, my things for spring is we got some of the question answered. They weren't all the answers I necessarily wanted, but I got them answered, right? Like, how did the running back room shape out? What are we looking at right tackle? These kind of things. Were we able to get a receiver? Those kind of things. Defensive tackles. So I got it's not exactly what I wanted, but I have clarity. And once I have clarity, now I can project, you know?
Well, what about the third phase of the game? We can feel a lot better about special teams. Not just with what we heard about them adding a kicker, obviously, Mason Shipley, but I feel a lot better about the experience they're going to have there. The number of athletes is an embarrassment of riches in that regard. I just feel a lot better about special teams. You know, next year it's not going to be the defense trying to carry the rest of the team. You know, it's going to be it's going to actually be more of a team. You know, the offense is going to do some of its damage. Special teams is going to make plenty of noise, I think.
You said something earlier in the spring that stuck out to me that I liked, that I think Jelani in the interview mirrored again. They're not as experienced, but they're going to be more aggressive. And like, if you see that level of athlete, I mean, it just looks different, man. Like, look at our practice photos from 4 years ago to now. The caliber of athlete is a different thing. And then on top of that, the DB coaches are more physical. Orfeh's DB, our corner, got drafted.
Yeah, he did.
And the whole thing they were talking about is that was a man corner and he would get up on you. So it's like you've got a more physical coaching style, and you've got bigger, stronger, faster athletes. It might be a cool iteration of this defense that has even more attitude than last year.
Yeah, like that source said, you know, maybe a little bit more top-end speed on last year's team, but more speed throughout the entire roster, all the levels this next year.
So it'll be cool. And like I said, I think our pass rush is going to be absurd.
It is.
So it's going to be, it's going to be a fun defense for sure. All right. You guys want to talk draft?
Sure.
The weird, happy, exciting draft. It was weird. Yeah. When I ended, I was like, I mean, I feel good, but this is also just a weird draft. It's like Nayer, like when I was talking about guys that I didn't expect, like Nayer didn't get drafted.
Nope.
And he like balled out at the combine, and he has those size. Weird stuff. Kobe Bryant not getting drafted out of Kansas.
Really?
Yeah.
He went free agent.
Just really strange ones that I was like, man, I'm looking for injuries and legal issues at that point. I'm not seeing it, you know? And so it's like, there was just some weird stuff with this draft where I was like, that was strange and didn't make sense to me. And then of course, some of our own players had some weirdness, but let's go down the list. Kelvin Banks.
Yeah.
That was one of the dumbest lead ups to the draft I've seen. Man. The evaluator. He might slide. He's a guard. I mean, it was, hopefully that was all a ploy to get people to back off of Banks and make it easier to grab them. But shout out to Banks, New Orleans, with our former coaches, and I'm putting in a good word for him. Excited for Banks. Talk about a player that just nailed it the whole way, did it right the whole way.
Right. And it's funny, the other guy that got drafted from Georgia went to Atlanta. Like, he lost the rep versus Banks, and they kept showing the clip. It's like, what are y'all doing? Banks didn't lose that rep. Like, he's going to dominate that guy.
Yeah, the Jalen Walker.
Every time they play twice a year. Yeah, it's like, what are we doing here?
But yeah, it was nonsense. Okay. Yeah, he literally held him off for 5 seconds. Quinn didn't step up in the pocket.
Like, exactly.
That's how it goes, man. Yeah, the Banks had a down year thing from Kuiper. Kuiper had a hell of a weekend, guys. Kuiper
was really
going through it. I heard people talking about firing Mel Kuiper. This industry basically exists because of Mel Kuiper. I'm not firing him. Now, that was weird and emotional and strange, but this guy, if you're talking NFL draft, man, like, Kuiper built half this damn thing, but he was weird. He was a weird guy. Felt like he was working for Shadur at some point.
The entire time.
Jahdae Barron, pick number 20 to Denver.
Denver Longhorns, huh?
Apparently, man.
Yeah. That's the secondary now, man. You got Locke back there. You got Patrick Surtain on the other side. You got Barron on the other side. Like, they got some pieces in that secondary. It's going to be hard to throw the ball. And, you know, interesting piece, the DC is Vance Joseph. So Terry Joseph's cousin, like, hey, he got all the intel he wants. That's going to be perfect.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that was probably not going to ever pass Denver with that connection to Joseph. But also look at the Saints. Bo Davis knows Kelvin Banks better than anybody.
Yep.
You know, his guys had to go up against them, and, you know, maybe he wasn't coaching edges, but it's still the same thing. It's the D line. So you could see Texas guys vouching for these guys for the former players. It kind of came across, and it's felt that way in the lead up to the draft where I was writing about, you know, I never want my NFL teams just to take Texas players just because they went to Texas, but this draft is filled with guys I would love for my team to draft. And that leads right into Alfred Collins there.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you got yourself one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's hit Golden first, man. I'll hit Golden.
Yeah, go for it.
I was excited because Golden got the hometown crowd. So that was super cool. And then Matthew Golden, it was crazy, man. Whenever he announced the draft, I was like, Golden, we need you to come back, man. And before I realized he could run a 4.41.
Going to a perfect spot, too. That's going to be – that receiver room is going to be tough.
Dude, I'm going
to – Green Bay had a really good draft, though, overall, honestly.
The NFL is also going to be more fun to watch over these next couple of years because there's actual Texas players.
I thought about the driving this morning. I'm like, I'm going to watch more NFL now.
You know, that's what I was thinking.
Green Bay was not done drafting Longhorns either.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's true. So he was – Golden was fun. Oh, how'd you feel about this one, Eric?
I love it. You know, length and athleticism, that's kind of what they always draft. You know, Bosa's not the longest guy of all time, but he's got motor and can move like nobody else. That's textbook 49ers there. And I love how Shanahan drafts because he's like, okay, look, I can joystick the offense. Let me go and get the pieces for the defense that, you know, any defensive coordinator is going to be successful with, and I'm going to have a good team. Now, I wish they would devote a little bit more offensive firepower to their draft, but yeah, you know, I can't fault that. I love that pick.
Yeah.
Not as much as I love this next pick, though. I mean, I wish I was an Eagles fan. Makuba would get risky. I would draft in the late first, early second.
Yeah.
And what I say there was that's not with the NFC East in mind. That's with facing Patrick Mahomes again.
Yes. They got another ball hawk in the secondary. They lose Johnson Gardner, so they went and replaced him with Makuba. They got guys up front to get after the quarterback. I was like, man, Eagles. Yep. We're cheating at this point.
Yeah, that's all about winning Super Bowls. That's not about winning the NFC East.
Well, it's cool to see how tight our players are because Jahdae Barron had to go to Denver, and then he had to turn around and get back to Makuba's draft night, which he did. So that was also cool. This was a really cool secondary that we got. We'll remember them forever. Round three, I was also excited. New Orleans. Now, this is the video of Bo Davis on the phone with Vernon Broughton. So this is a very real former player pick that was his coach. So that was cool, man. New Orleans again.
He called. He said, "What up, chicken leg?"
Oh man, chicken.
Oh man, yeah. That one really hyped me up because, you know, again, nobody knows Vernon Broughton better than Bo Davis, and you know, take him around earlier than even I had him going. You know, I've been Vernon's probably greatest advocate since he was in high school, and then Bo swoops in and takes them. first of all, you know, I like that Kellen Moore trusts Bo Davis to that degree. Mm-hmm. And then I like that Bo Davis trusts Vernon to that degree.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
Man.
Gunner Helm, Tennessee Titans. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, coach.
They like Texas tight ends, right? They had Bo Skates back in the day, right? I mean, I'm happy for Gunner, man. That's my guy, right? He's going to have a long career in the NFL. I guarantee. I know a lot of other tight ends were taken early, but watch Gunner. Watch him rise to the top.
I don't think tight ends are always evaluated that great. And the reason I say that is because it seems like everywhere you look, you know, the top tight ends are often third, fourth round. Gunner Helm, I think, is in the wheelhouse of a lot of tight ends that have been overlooked and then become really good players. Now, you know, I can see why he fell. I felt like a lot of times he was open was because he was schemed open. He doesn't move to me like Loveland or Warren. But reliable hands and a good enough athlete. That's a position where if you're a good enough athlete and you're smart and reliable and tough, oh, man, you're going to become a quarterback's best friend.
Yep.
They just have to find a quarterback.
Well, I think that's perfect.
Hopefully they found a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whew. Another cool one, Baron Sorrell.
Yeah,
on day three in Green Bay, and then he gets to go to the hometown crowd again. That's a kid you're always rooting for, and then to get that experience of the crowd loving on you and stuff, just great stuff, man.
Yeah, I woke up to I woke up to a text from my sister. She's like, "This Barry Sorrell guy sounds really great." You know, just spelled his name, but you know, maybe I'm surprised there's not a Barry Sorrell in our comments over here. Like,
yeah, where you at, man?
Yeah,
I saw you guys on the video. Baron's mom, exactly. All that stuff. Y'all were happy, but
so huge.
Watch it later if he's not in the comments now. But shout out to Baron, dude.
Let him stand up. Let him come off the weak side and let him play more to his size. He's, you know, he took one for the team a little bit at Jack. Yeah. We still haven't seen Texas really with the actual Jack that they're looking for. They want some size on that guy. That's why I felt Lance Jackson isn't going anywhere else outside of edge. You know, Sorrell, I think his body type is more of a stand-up outside guy. You know, I think we're going to see some more production out of him in the pass game than we saw of him doing a lot of the dirty work.
Sure. They drafted another guy like him a few years ago, Rashawn Gary, right? So you put him on the opposite side of Gary, but they're going to get out to the quarterback together. I'm telling you, it's going to be dangerous.
I'm looking forward to watching. Man, see, this is, again, I am getting more excited about the NFL just thinking about these guys.
Yeah, I normally just watch the NFL purely for schematics, like, oh, that's interesting. But now I'm actually going to be like, oh, cool, let's see what Golden's up to or whatever. Jaden Blue to Dallas, man. Great for Jaden Blue, man. And then also the back they took later, the Clemson back. Can't remember, what was it, Maffa? He's a huge Clemson back we played. So to get a little thunder and lightning there, I thought the Cowboys made a good decision. And then Jaden Blue, of course, he'll kill you in the pass game. And if his mindset's on, man, he's a weapon. So it's, you know, get him out on those wheel routes, that kind of stuff. Nice pick for Dallas. And then also, man, just to be a Texas kid and you get to go to the Cowboys, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I can see him. Some insight on that one. I think Paxton had something, gave Jerry some insight.
Yeah.
I think he can have a Raheem Mostert type career.
Ooh. Former running back there, 49ers. Huh?
Yeah.
And then a slide that I did not like to see.
Cam
Williams, Philadelphia. Now, you couldn't ask for a better situation for a young player that needs to sit and develop.
Right.
That's a great room to sit and develop behind. So if you're going to slide, man, slide to Philly. But damn.
That's one of those where, like, the, you know, every team in the league passes on him, but then when a team like Philly gets him, you go, damn, well, okay, you could have taken him. Right. Oh, man, well, I didn't want to end up at Philadelphia. Well, he should have ended up on your roster. Like I said, I would have drafted this guy a whole lot earlier with the understanding that he's got to sit. Hopefully you have a veteran OT that's about to get a little too expensive, and he's got a year or two. Because you're really getting him on a bargain. Had he come back, he would have been drafted way higher. So let him sit for a year. You're talking about still a potential 10 years value out of him.
I agree.
Just take him and you know, invest for the year, for down the road. You know, I don't think teams do that enough. Like I liken him to the Colts take. You know, Adonai Mitchell in the second round last year. Had Adonai come back, he would have been the number one, you know, true wide receiver. Wouldn't have got ahead of Travis Hunter, but. He would have been number one wide receiver taken. I feel very confident about that. I had Cam Williams come back. You know, we're talking about a second rounder, probably at worst.
That's what I was going to say. So Philadelphia is smart because they're getting sixth round value out of just waiting 1 year.
Yep.
They would have got a second round pick out of them. So once again, man, pisses me off as a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
But Philly just makes smart decisions.
Yeah.
Did it feel like to y'all that this was like, this felt like the most restrained draft I've seen? It felt like there were some reaches, but it didn't feel that crazy. It felt like they were almost too restrained in some regards, like the analytics departments are taking over. Because there's just, like I said, a lot of guys where you're like, it feels like any other year y'all, someone would have bit.
Yeah, you know, we talk about traits over production all the time. I certainly do. And here you see a couple of guys on the screen where it wasn't, you know, they went with production over traits more so, you know, with Ewers and Williams. And that's why they slid.
Yeah.
I get it. We all watched Cameron Williams have his struggles this year. A lot of it was penalties. You know, he had all kinds of issues. Some of it was, you know, he kudos to him for playing through that knee injury that needed to be scoped after the season. But, you know, I think with another year of seasoning, it's not hard to imagine him being a whole lot more productive. So I can't believe he slipped to the sixth. That might go down as one where, because there's really no huge mental red flags either. You know, there was times where he carried too much weight, but he matured over the last couple of years. You know, if we were talking about his freshman mindset, I might have some concerns. But now he's got that out of his way. Now he just needs experience and reps. And I feel bad for him because, you know, at the time he entered the draft, nobody thought in the right mind he was going to slip this far. But, you know, he did. But now, you know, like I said, destiny's still in his hands. Now, you know, go become the player you can be. Everybody's going to keep trying to make sure that it works out for him because he's giant and he's an athletic.
Yep.
And you got great value for him. So it's like, that to sit in that room is going to be great. Of course, we wish we'd have him back. But also, I mean, if his camp's being told, hey, you're a second rounder, you know, it makes sense. But yeah, the draft was just very strange this year. But before we talk about some strange drafting, let's hear from Andre the Lawyer.
This video is brought to you by Andre the Lawyer. If you're injured, trust the team that secured millions for their clients and helped thousands of Texans with their injury case. Car wrecks, slip and falls, 18-wheeler accidents, on-the-job injuries, and wrongful deaths. Don't let insurance tell you what your claim is worth. Hire Andre the Lawyer to fight for you. Principal office is in Dallas, but they serve Texans throughout the state. So don't wait and call Andre the Lawyer today at 214-444-8808. That's 214-444-8808. The contact information is in the description.
All right, Hayden Connor. This was one that I wasn't sure he was going to get drafted, and that was awesome to see, man, because what a likable kid, and he's a big kid.
He is a big kid. I thought Jake Majors would have been around that area just because he's so cerebral and does a lot, man.
Well, same here. I thought Jake would get drafted and Hayden wouldn't, and that, you know, didn't end up being the case. But Hayden Connor to Arizona,
you know, what's interesting here is I think guard might be his least likely position. I could see right tackle or center. And if that's the case, he's got that versatility, then hell yeah, taking a flyer on him in the sixth makes a lot of sense. Could be a center. I think half of the NFL centers played guard in college. And then he's got tackle size, you know, I don't know, like, so he can help you out in a pinch. I think, again, there's tons of value in getting him in the sixth round.
Yeah. And he does better. Like Eric's pointing out, he's a better pass blocker than he is a run blocker. And so that thing's too is better for a kind of a tackle. But we know he makes smart decisions. Remember when NIL first popped up and he invested in real estate. So, you know, those are just little mental evals that you check, you know, along the way. So shout out.
He just got married too. So, you know, probably thinking combined incomes.
Dude, exactly. Good investments, graduates Texas, gets drafted, gets married. The kids are a hell of a year. Shout out.
Don't talk about being broke if you're not married. Go get married.
Yeah. All right, guys. We won't really talk about this one. That one wasn't that interesting. We'll just go Silas Bolden. Round seven.
Man.
Quinn Ewers, man. Last quarterback taken. I'm not going first. Eric.
Well, you know, I think there's a whole lot to discuss here. What came to my mind is if you go through all the quarterbacks from the last two semifinals, you know, outside of Drew Aller, who won't be drafted until next year, and his floor is probably Tyler Shough. You know, he's a better version of Tyler Shough. I'm not sure what that exactly means, but it means he's going in the top 40 picks, apparently. So then if you go through all that semi-quarterbacks, you know, Quinn Ewers was drafted last. Now, some of that has to do with his durability that doesn't quite factor in towards the quality of college quarterback he was. But that durability and injuries affected his pocket presence. That certainly affected how good he was as a college quarterback and his draft grade as well. So you've got, you know, Riley Leonard and Will Howard getting drafted ahead of Quinn. And this is, you know, this is what Sark was working with, as opposed to what we think will be a force multiplier next year. Now, at the same time, I'm not blaming Quinn at all for, you know, Texas could have won a national championship the last 2 years. I don't blame him for the loss of, against Washington or Ohio State. You know, he's not to blame. It's just, you know, it's a fact of life that Sark was coaching a seventh round draft pick, you know, this past season. And it's unfortunate because anybody that saw, you know, the Michigan game felt like he was going to go. I mean, I was, you know, if you watch his, it was an entirely different player. So I'm not even blaming Sark for going with Quinn over Arch or like that. It's just, I think the season and his draft prospects deteriorated after he got injured. And after he got injured, it really affected the mental aspects that you have to have. I mean, you've got, you know, how does Brock Purdy make it in the NFL? Because he can move around in the pocket and find windows that, you know, maybe that's not his first or second read. And, you know, Quinn hasn't really demonstrated that. So I was kind of thinking, you know, Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant. But we saw better feet, better improv, better ability within the pocket from Brock throughout his time at Iowa State than we saw from Quinn. So in that regard, I guess that maybe we shouldn't be so surprised, but I love that he went to the Dolphins. I'd have been happy with the Niners taking him, honestly. You know, that's how I feel about him, because I feel, you know, when he's with these offensive minded coaches, that can kind of get the ball out of his hands for him and scheme open guys, he can deliver all those throws, you know, especially the RPO in the mid range. But yeah, there's just a whole lot of thoughts there. And I hope it doesn't crush his confidence. You know, I hope this makes him a stronger person, and he makes the team, because, you know, I mean, you know, Miami's going to invest heavily in their backup because Tua has had some serious injuries.
I was just about to say, you made the same comment. If you point nine drafted, and maybe, you know, Purdy can play the first half and then Quinn can play the second half of the season. Yeah. Right. So same thing with Tua, because you just never know. I think he went to a perfect system for me. I forgot about Miami. I was counting Rams, 49ers and the Lions because of the system, but he fits Miami as well, and Mike McDaniel, he was right behind him doing pro day, right? So
he
got
a chance. He was watching
2 years in a row, right? So maybe he felt like he can work with him. Like, hey, Quinn, don't worry about where you were drafted. You were drafted. Now it's just time to go put in the work, right? Go prove everybody wrong. If you want to be that guy, live up to whatever ranking, whatever it is, man, go out there and just prove it. That's the biggest thing. You got drafted. A lot of other people didn't. So it's the only thing you can do at this point.
Yeah. So if you're looking at the comments here, you know, Nick Brooks got arrested last night for a DWI per reports. I'm not sure who had the first report, but I looked it up after I saw these comments. And yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't know what do you want us to say, that it's going to handle its course. Nick's going to learn a very valuable lesson from it. And you know, Sark will handle it. And Nick Brooks is not the type of guy that you get rid of after one mistake. God, he's going to have to run. He's going to be a lot leaner after this.
Probably. I was going to say, dude, they're going to run him into the ground. Dude.
After all the punishment, he's going to look like, you know, Malik Agbo after this. But you know, luckily it doesn't sound like anybody got hurt. But, you know, want to do, we live in a world where look what NFL players are doing and getting away with their Georgia players, or, you know, I mean,
yeah,
I'm not going to sit here and flip over chairs over this one.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Got to learn from it, though.
Yeah, you do. So with Quinn, you know, I've never been super high on Quinn, but even I thought it was fourth round. So it's like, you know, I never thought he was first or second round talent, but third or fourth made sense. Dropping in the seventh to me didn't make sense. Quinn has some major flaws in his game, but I didn't feel like it was that major. And so that's kind of the tricky part. One thing that did stick out to me was actually Jay Gruden with Colt McCoy. They did that video together, and Colt was kind of teaching Jay about Quinn. And he was like, yeah, he struggles some in the red zone and processing. And Jay Gruden was like, wait, stop. He doesn't have any of the physical abilities you need for that. He has to be able to process in the red zone. That has to be his superpower. And he's like, you're telling me he's struggling there? And that's when Jay Gruden said he's a sixth or seventh round pick, career backup. And I put that on the board, you know, and even I thought that was too harsh. Colt was very much on the sunny side. I think Colt was too close to the situation. I thought it was in the middle, But Jay Gruden, that always stuck out to me how he said, you know, he kept asking him, what does Quinn do really well? And I would say he throws the best intermediate two ball I've ever seen, like even in the pros, right? Like that thing. But everything else, you needed insane processing and really had to be an intelligence guy.
We talked about it throughout the season. You got a pocket passer that's lacking pocket presence. And then when you have a pocket passer, he has got to threaten the entire field with his arm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, this we'll get in more of this down the road. But I think Sark is going to be looking for quarterbacks more like Arch and Dia when he can find them.
Yeah. But also, you know, on the coping side of it, I put out a tweet that, like, you know, Sark got four receivers drafted, two NFL tight ends with a seventh round quarterback. That's a big.
Here's what I always say about recruiting services is they rate way too highly on what's easier to see is the athletic, the physical traits, which anybody that watches Quinn throw the pass. I mean, you can go back watching him in high school and he throws pro passes in high school. But understanding the mental side of players is by far the hardest thing. And the NFL struggles it with millions of dollars in their scouting departments. Yeah. Of course, recruiting networks are going to have that. But yeah, that did not do Quinn any favor. Maybe then again, it did. You know, how much money has he made by going to Ohio State as the number one player in the country and then transferring to Texas? So, I mean, if he would have been a three-star that ended up getting drafted in the second round pick in the seventh round, he wouldn't have the bank account he does now. Not that that's everything. He's a good dude, man. I think hopefully everybody takes the time to understand the entire context of it because it is not the standard situation with a quarterback, I don't think.
Yeah. He's one to a concussion away from starting. Well, I think Zach Wilson's down there too.
Well, yeah, he's got to make the team. You know, he's probably going to make the practice squad this year, and then you kind of go from there.
Yeah. But it was interesting. And then the fans' response, it was just, man, Texas quarterbacks are so polarizing. It's so crazy, man. Luckily,
I think Texas fans actually did a pretty good job handling it this season. Honestly, you know, if Sims Applewhite was 10 out of 10, this was like a 3 out of 10.
Sims Applewhite. Yeah.
Civil War. I think a lot of that has to do with just trusting Sark to manage the situation as best he can.
Well, and it's like we're talking about, like, if Arch plays, maybe you get one more win. Like, it's Sark's maximizing at that level. But also the bright side is Sark's system was able to do that. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Tank for Arch starts now. He is going to be here for 2 years, though, in my opinion. So,
I say somebody made a comment that they took Tyler Show so they can get Arch next year. It was funny.
Yeah.
In 2 years. Yeah. You get the chef that 1 year.
Yeah.
It's kind of like hiring that interim coach that you know you're going to fire in a year. What's going on with Ryan Watts? What did we miss on that?
It says he got cut.
He's injured. So, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to make it in the NFL.
It's very hard to
make it in the NFL, especially if you're about to, you know, if you have injury issues. You know, that league is freaking brutal. I didn't really understand how brutal it was to be a college athlete. You know, from a time consumption standpoint. The more I've done this, the more I realize this is that guys that actually make it to the NFL are just full grown men.
Then also too, man, like there's still this kind of war luck component, you know, where it's just like you tear your ACL doesn't mean you're not a good athlete. Like there's so much of it. There's just surviving that meat grinder of the NFL too, man.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, I talk to Malik Jefferson all the time and that guy, partially why he can't make a team and stay and make it in the league is he has trouble staying healthy. So the limited amount of time he's played, he's still been injured. He's had a number of surgeries I don't think anybody even knows about. Just to try to get back on the field. It's a brutal sport, man. It takes its toll.
Well, and like I said, and you're paying for that when you're trouble walking when you're 50. Like, get compensated while you can because it's a tough field. Eric, get on out of here, man.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I got to go see Sark at the Touchdown Club. You know, I'll tell you what, we had the IT tailgate on Friday night. It's raining. Sark's in the a golf cart getting taken into the game. Doesn't care that it's raining. I just love how he supports his fellow college team and head coaches. It's good to see that you know, going to go see him at Touchdown Club. We'll have a video up later today as soon as we can get that thing uploaded from what he says. Of course, he's going to recap a lot of spring, so make sure you check back later today. And I got to go. I'll see you guys later.
Later, Eric. Speaking of baseball, what I like too, Sark's a big baseball fan, first off. But second off, you see his tweet, Coach? He broke out the brooms whenever we swept A&M.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. God, man, A&M, man. Being an A&M fan just shows it's brutal, man.
Like it hell, has the steam.
What a nightmare. Dude. The fact that we sweep them, right? It's pretty crazy. And, of course, we're going to go in depth on it on Inside Texas Baseball. We're filming that here at noon, and it'll probably come out at like 1:30 for you baseball heads. But, man, Texas Baseball, number one in the nation, continues to roll. This team is really, really, really good. Yeah. And they're just gritty, dude. Like whenever teams get up on us, I'm immediately like, that was a mistake. You almost want to play us to a tie and try to win in the ninth. But, like, as soon as you go up on us, it, like, activates us even more to play harder. Coach, let's go through some of these undrafted free agents.
Man, Silas Bowden get a chance. I say this. I feel like if he would stay at Oregon State, he probably gets drafted. Or if we utilize him more, he probably gets drafted versus this. I'm glad he got, like, a guaranteed of 205. But
me too.
Man, that's tough.
Yeah, but it's tough in a couple ways, right? You're a little guy, so they're already going to knock you on that. True. No problem with the heart. Period. We know that. But the problem is, too, like, even with Silas, I'm super glad he came, but it never made sense to me with what we had coming in. Now, of course, Bond didn't work out, and we'll talk about that. But, you know, without knowing the future, it didn't make sense for him to come in and kind of play gadget, especially with Oregon State, where he was, like, a featured player. So I'm glad he came. He helped the team. Selfishly, right. I'm glad he came. But there's also a part of me, too, man, where it's like, man, transfer where you can be a featured player. The odds of you starting for Texas were very low. Jake Majors, this is one I was bummed about. And this will split the fan base. I know fans have been frustrated with the physical traits of Jake.
Right.
We all know the mental traits were 100% there. But I thought Jake was going to get drafted. I was a little bit bummed that he didn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Jake playing on an NFL roster in 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. I thought he was going to get drafted late too, but Jake Majors reminds me of those guys that, you know, being a Patriots fan that, you know, used to take always to be a free agency and that he played 10 years in the NFL, right? Because he has just so many other traits that, you know, that translate well to the NFL. You know, he'll get bigger, he'll get a little stronger, right? But you can't go, he's so cerebral, man. He knows the game so well. And so
that matters.
It matters. I think he can have a long NFL career and then he'll be some goat of an offensive line coach when he's done.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think he did go to the Bucks, right? So I think we just have a misprint here with Tennessee.
Yeah, he went to the Bucks.
Yeah. Just not sure Jake has the strength to play inside against some of those NFL TTs. That's going to be the big question with Jake, right? Yeah. We'll have to see. Also, is he getting help on those double teams with guards?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it is hard. You know, if they go zero tech on him, that's why the intelligence has to be the big shield with Jake.
Yeah.
Benda, love Benda, man. Great dude. Glad to see him get signed, man. Yep. He does go to sign with Tennessee.
Yes.
So that was cool to see.
He's going to make the team. Special teams, like, he's going to make the team. He's going to show up and show out. I feel like he has a really good chance of making that squad, man. You cannot turn this guy away. He's determined to make. He has the heart, like you just said. He has the heart and everything else. I think he's going to will his way to a team.
So engaging too, man. Like, the mental eval's there. He's just a smart kid too. Not a kid. Smart young man. And so shout out for Benda to get the opportunity. That's important to me. If you don't get drafted with these strong mental evals, give them at least they need the shot. Gavin Holmes, really good athlete, man.
Yeah.
I think, Eric says it here. He's unquestionably an NFL cover athlete. So he gets a shot at Detroit. Just could never get, you know, quarterback one or two reps in our system. Right. He was always that third guy. We'd always heard that he's a great athlete and the NFL is always needing great athletes.
Yeah, I thought he's a bit on the thin side, right? I mean, you know, to say he can cover, but tackling, like, you playing for a coach that he has this tight end linebacker mentality, right? So being a corner, he still expects you to hit. Like, so I think if he gets that part of his game down, of course, gain some weight, I think he'll be fine. I think he has a chance to make it, but I think he needs to get bigger and you know, want to stick his head in there to tackle people.
Yeah. And then we also got Bill Norton.
Big Bill.
To the Rams.
Yeah, I think he look. I mean, I know he had a long college career. I know he had some injuries, some ups and downs, but situationally, you can never have, you know, have
dude, a guy. He showed up.
Yardage, goal line, put that big body in there. Hey, especially in their division, everybody wants to run. You got the 49ers over there. You got Seahawks. Everybody's physical. You need big bodies. And if he can come in and play situation football like he did at Texas, I think he has a chance to make the team and really just, you know, I don't know how long NFL career-wise, but I think you can use a body like that. We see it year in and year out. Big bodies matter. And the more guys you got in the trenches, the better.
Well, and it matters too, man. Like, the NFL can't quantify this, so they can't look at it. But Norton showed up in big moments too.
Yes.
Like, he played situationally for us, but also important situations for us. And, you know, as a scout, you can't quantify it, so you can't really put it into the eval. But, you know, if all things are equal, that's a determining factor for me at the end of, like, well, when do they show up and make plays? And that's what I thought. Like, my favorite draft pick was Makuba.
Yes, the rich get rich.
And Eric said it. He's a first-round pick. Makuba's a first-round pick in my mind too, man.
He is. He's a first-round pick.
Again, Philadelphia, damn it, are just smart, dude. Like, you know, they just – whatever they're doing in that organization, like, they get it. Like, getting Cam Williams at that level of value, yeah. They take Makuba in the second round, frankly, and it was at the end of the second round. So everybody else is saying he's a third round or lower grade. Philadelphia is like, y'all got that wrong. And the league did have that wrong because Makuba is easily a second rounder. So
he's going to make so many plays in the secondary. Like, you look at all the guys they take every single year. It's like they just draft Howie. I don't know. Them and that entire staff do a great job, but I mean, Makuba's going to fit in right where Chauncey Gardner came from. He's going to be a ball hawk in the secondary. They got the D-line in front of him. He's a smart cerebral player, too, and he's not afraid to come up and hit you, right? So NFC East, you know, good luck. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah. And Collins went higher than I thought he would, which is I'm really good to hear.
Yeah, I owe somebody a crumble cookie bet for that one. I did not have him going first two rounds at all.
Man. Yeah, I didn't
I got to pay up.
But also, too, like if Alfred would have just went full intensity his whole career, he was a first rounder.
Yeah,
he's had all the traits were always there with Alfred. It was just buy-in.
Yeah, definitely.
Gunnar Helm, interesting at round four. I think Eric said it best. A lot of the times he was open schematically, and this is a props to Sark.
Yeah.
But all the intangibles are here for Gunnar. Really excited about that. Baron Sorrell, feel great about. Cowboys with Dallas, you got a unique receiving weapon in blue.
Yeah.
Value at Cameron Williams. Now, this is the switch. So this is why I kind of felt like weird about this draft. I thought we were going to get to 13, and we should have.
Yeah, you should have.
We should have. And so, but my difference was I thought Hayden Connor wasn't going to get drafted in Jake Wood, so that's my only switch. The problem was Bond. Bond's what stopped us from getting to 13. So it's like that's why it was weird. Like we broke the record, but also Quinn like nearly didn't get drafted. So like there was this weird kind of bittersweetness to this draft that was kind of strange. But, man, if Bond didn't have the legal issues, and that's on Bond, you know.
That's on Bond, man.
Yeah, you would have
I hate it.
You would have had 13. Did you see the disingenuous Alabama articles they're writing?
Yeah, I left so I can improve my draft style. I was like, why y'all post that? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, dude. Bama's like all like, see, Sark can't develop. It's like, that's your argument. They don't once mention – they don't mention, A, his injuries, which was huge, and they don't mention the legal trouble. They come just on, made man. It look like Bond went to Texas and Sark can't develop.
Yeah, exactly. I saw a lot of people, some people, you know, outside fan base talking about, oh, he had Quinn for 3 years, and this is what he's like. Come on, man. Like, players have to put in work. You also see Matthew Golden getting on live. Said, look, Texas is developing dogs. He came here, made the most of his experience, and made it happen. But you got to have buy-in, too. It takes more than just, hey, I'm playing for Texas now. Like, you still got to do the work yourself, too. So I think a lot of people just don't see that and whatever. Find whatever ways you can kind of negative recruit all you want to. But Arch is going to change all that. I think going forward, you got Wingo's coming up. Like, you got so many other guys about to be drafted in the coming years, man. Whatever. I guess pick where you want to hate at. I guess that's what people do. So,
well, we went from not having people drafted to people nitpicking, getting 12 people drafted. Like, it's in a different level of champagne problems. As far as like, you see, Sark didn't develop Quinn. The reality was there was a ton of other factors there. And you know, there's a little bit of cope in this, I'm not gonna lie, but also Sark was able to almost get to two championships with a seventh round, the last quarterback picked.
Right.
That also is gonna say something too, right? About the system. So
and we know the NFL trusts Sark, man. Look, they're always talking to him. Like you said, I don't know if they're over there like, hey, buddy, we need you or whatever the case, but they trust Sark. So I don't think it had anything to do with, you know, development or coaching from, you know, Sarkisian and staff at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, some of the arguments too is like, I think you put Quinn at X, whatever school, Quinn doesn't get drafted, you know, like that's the difference there too, because McDaniel grabbing Quinn, I was at the end of it, I was like, one of Sark's friends is going to have to save Quinn here. Like it's going to have to be the Rams, 49ers, or Dolphins, because all of those systems can do it. And they're all buddies with Sark.
Yes.
So, but man, Quinn, because I mean, the Sarkisian system will showcase you. So if Quinn was somewhere else, Quinn doesn't get drafted.
That's true. He only has three games where he has to really play in like some bad weather in New England. Up is late New England, New York with the Jets and the Bills, right? But then he's going to be in some perfect weather in Miami and South Beach, man. So,
yeah.
You know, in that offense, I think he'll do well, man. He makes the team. I think he has a chance to do well.
Yeah. All right. Spring ball's over.
Yeah, man.
NFL draft broke the record. Shouts out. Texas baseball remains number one in the nation. Sweeps Texas A&M. Fun weekend. I enjoyed it, man. I was just glued to the TV all weekend, just hanging out. It was real
nice. Definitely. And I'm not the biggest baseball guy. Like, I'll watch it in person. I'll watch when it gets close to, like, you know, conference championships and going to get into the World Series.
I'll watch it now because it's a fun team, dude.
Yeah, it's a fun team, right? So, yeah.
I'm a casual, but like I've been watching this season just because it's been awesome. Start off like rank like 15th and just like claw our way to number one. And they're, dude, I'm telling you, they're a fun team. Like when we get down like a couple runs, the game is never over. So as far as like entertainment product, Texas is putting an awesome entertainment product.
Yeah, they are
up there. But yeah, start tuning in now because there's a chance this team is going to make a real run. And we weren't expecting that in year one either. That's what's also cool. This wasn't really – we didn't think this was going to happen.
So talented, man. Yeah. They got so much – they got so much energy on that team. It's like, yo, this is a baseball team? Like, remind me of the Rangers. I can't think what year that was. They all were just, you know, interactive. They had the little things every time they were still a base or something. Like, this team is having fun playing baseball. I was like, you know, I need to tune into this, man.
They're having fun, man. They're gritty. It's all of it, man. I've really enjoyed it. Just, like, sitting back is not even a huge thing. So, all right, guys, that was fun weekend. For our baseball heads, we are going to film Inside Texas Baseball here in a little bit, so be on the lookout for that. We're also going to have the video of the Touchdown Club. The Girl Herd will drop tonight, so tune in with them. We got a lot of content, as always, for you guys. And this IT Live here was brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Later, y'all.